English Listening Comprehension Test Spring 2007 Advanced Level. This test is in four parts. Part 4 has separate directions. In parts 1, 2, and 3, you will answer the questions asked in the booklet by choosing the best alternative answer, according to what you have heard. Mark each answer on the optical answer sheet. The test is about to begin. Now you will hear part 1 twice. First, listen to it straight through.
Here's Stephanie Ball with a story about New Zealand and exploding trousers.
Richard Buckley was a farmer in New Zealand. It was 1931. Richard was lucky. When his trousers blew up, he wasn't wearing them. According to the newspaper, while Mr. Richard Buckley's trousers were drying before the fire recently, they exploded with a loud sound. Although partially stunned by the force of the explosion, he had sufficient presence of mind to seize the garment and hurl it out of the front door. There was only one suspect in the case, sodium chlorate. When the government declared it was the best ragwort killer they had seen, farmers began to demand it. Well, ragwort is poisonous. Livestock usually avoid the plant, but once it displaces grass and clover, the animals have little else to eat. When eating it, cattle and horses sicken quickly and can die of liver failure. In the past, farmers had pulled up ragwort by hand, a labour-intensive job that brought only temporary relief. Any roots left in the soil simply re-sprouted. But hands were becoming hard to find. Even the unemployed refused the hard work and poor pay. By the late 1920s, farmers couldn't even turn to their families. Farmers who put their wives to work in the fields were frowned upon. It wasn't respectable. Nor could they rely on their children. School had become compulsory, and there were buses to collect children from the farms. So they turned to sodium chlorate, and the accident started immediately. When it comes into contact with organic materials, such as the fibres of a farmer's working clothes, sodium chlorate is extremely dangerous, forming compounds that will explode at the first sign of a spark or a glowing cigarette. Sometimes just a bump or a knock on the leg is enough. Washing the contaminated clothes made little difference. Ragwort remains a serious pest in New Zealand. Today's weapons of choice are not herbicides, but the ragwort flea beetle. It was introduced in the early 1980s from Europe and has been very successful, destroying every single plant in some parts of the country. The caterpillars of a certain kind of butterfly eat ragwort's roots. Studies in Australia suggest that the plume moth can reduce ragwort populations by up to 80%. For now, the moths remain confined to quarters until they've proved they won't attack any native plants. But happily, there are no longer any exploding trousers.
Now listen to the same story in five sections. Look at questions 1 and 2.
Here's Stephanie Ball with a story about New Zealand and exploding trousers.
Richard Buckley was a farmer in New Zealand. It was 1931. Richard was lucky. When his trousers blew up, he wasn't wearing them. According to the newspaper, while Mr. Richard Buckley's trousers were drying before the fire recently, they exploded with a loud sound. Although partially stunned by the force of the explosion, he had sufficient presence of mind to seize the garment and hurl it out of the front door.
Answer questions 1 and 2, then look at questions 3 and 4.
There was only one suspect in the case, sodium chlorate. When the government declared it was the best ragwort killer they had seen, farmers began to demand it. Well, ragwort is poisonous. Livestock usually avoid the plant, but once it displaces grass and clover, the animals have little else to eat. When eating it, cattle and horses sicken quickly and can die of liver failure.
Answer questions 3 and 4. Look at questions 5 and 6.
In the past, farmers had pulled up ragwort by hand, a labour-intensive job that brought only temporary relief. Any roots left in the soil simply re-sprouted. But hands were becoming hard to find. Even the unemployed refused the hard work and poor pay. By the late 1920s, farmers couldn't even turn to their families. Farmers who put their wives to work in the fields were frowned upon. It wasn't respectable. Nor could they rely on their children. School had become compulsory, and there were buses to collect children from the farms.
Answer questions 5 and 6, then look at questions 7 and 8.
So they turned to sodium chlorate, and the accident started immediately. When it comes into contact with organic materials, such as the fibres of a farmer's working clothes, sodium chlorate is extremely dangerous, forming compounds that will explode at the first sign of a spark or a glowing cigarette. Sometimes just a bump or a knock on the leg is enough. Washing the contaminated clothes made little difference.
Answer questions 7 and 8. Look at questions 9 and 10.
Ragwort remains a serious pest in New Zealand. Today's weapons of choice are not herbicides, but the ragwort flea beetle. It was introduced in the early 1980s from Europe and has been very successful, destroying every single plant in some parts of the country. The caterpillars of a certain kind of butterfly eat ragwort's roots. Studies in Australia suggest that the plume moth can reduce ragwort populations by up to 80%. For now, the moths remain confined to quarters until they've proved they won't attack any native plants. But happily, there are no longer any exploding trousers.
Answer questions 9 and 10. This is the second part of the test. In this part, you will hear 10 short dialogues. Each one involves a different situation with different speakers. You will hear each of them once only. Look at question 11.
George, it's interesting what's being done in recycling. A designer is trying to reduce Britain's mountain of old shopping trolleys. He's turning them into chairs.
Into what?
Into chairs. He gets old shopping trolleys from shops and makes chairs out of them. He gets most of the trolleys from supermarkets right down the road from where he lives.
And does he sell them?
Yes, they sell rather well. His business is growing rapidly.
Answer question 11, then look at question 12.
Harry, did you read about the Argentinian woman who's been living in a nest for over a year?
Where? In what?
She's been living in a nest for a year.
Why? Was she homeless or something?
No, she just liked the idea. And the tree she used for building the nest was closer to the train station than her house.
Well, that beats everything. Now I've heard it all.
Answer question 12. Look at question 13.
The best guest centre at Jodhpur, India, rents out wedding guests. The company caters for families who fear they will fall short of guests at weddings.
I read about that too. It hires out guests according to requirements and budget.
And can you imagine the guests dance and try to impress with their etiquette without letting anyone know they're being paid for it?
They say that quarrels among family members and relatives creates a demand for paid guests. So business is booming. They intend to expand across the state.
Answer question 13, then look at question 14.
What goes on down in Florida? Three ladies, all of them in their 80s, decided to travel 20 miles to a Baptist church because they wanted to hear a special preacher.
Well, that sounds perfectly harmless.
But they got lost. They drove completely out of Florida and then hundreds of miles through southern Georgia into Alabama. Finally, the police stopped them. One woman had driven the whole time for over 24 hours.
What a ride!
Yeah, but they were fine. Just a bit tired.
Answer question 14, look at question 15.
A Thai man says his pet crocodile is so tame that he uses it as a pillow in bed.
He what?
Yes, he says the crocodile makes the perfect, well, guard dog, but is completely tame around the house.
And what did you say he does with it?
He sleeps with the crocodile under the same mosquito net, along with his son, and even uses it as a pillow. The crocodile is fed 2 kilos of meat every 2 days, so it's not particularly hungry.
Answer question 15, then look at question 16.
That woman at the mall, that was funny, getting locked out like that.
Yeah, rad, weren't it?
I'll say. She'd come out of Walmart, was getting ready to put her shopping bags into the trunk. But then one of her three cats inside stepped on the automatic door lock.
And she'd already thrown her keys onto the front seat, if I remember right. Imagine her trying to give the cats hand signals to open the car door.
Yes, imagine. Well, the fire department came to her rescue. The cats were not even worried.
Answer question 16. Look at question 17.
University exams have really changed.
Yes, I'll not be able to mention Lancaster University with a straight face.
Where did that fellow get the idea to get up in the middle of a university law exam and propose? In an exam, at a university, and ask for her hand.
And I heard that his girlfriend answered in the affirmative.
Yes, she did. Well, is that crazy or romantic, or what?
Answer question 17, then look at question 18.
Albert Trevino is a 74-year-old man, and a landslide wrecked his house in Los Angeles. The police gave him 15 minutes to gather his belongings. All Albert could save was his passport, some bank papers, and his mother's favorite picture, a painting he bought from a garage sale for $50 more than 25 years ago, back while his mother was still living.
Not much of a painting to save.
But it was painted by a key member of the California Impression Movement. Its identity was only revealed a week after the accident, when Albert's artist friend saw the signature on the work. Now, it's been sold for $500,000.
Not half bad for a garage sale painting.
Answer question 18, look at question 19.
That secretary in the city is having a hard time.
I'll say. All she did was accidentally splash some ketchup on the trousers of a senior associate.
And a week later, the rich lawyer demanded payment of £4 from her for dry cleaning charges.
Yes, and he's a solicitor in the world's biggest law firm. He got angry when she didn't pay.
Well, she couldn't, because her mother had died and she was in Liverpool taking care of the funeral.
And her workmates offered to pay the £4. It's simply incredible.
Answer question 19, look at question 20.
Louisiana jury just found a woman not guilty of second-degree murder and the death of her husband. She was convicted on lesser charges, though.
And what's the story?
She and her husband had decided together to burn their house down and collect the insurance money. But her husband died while committing the arson. He apparently tripped while running out of the house.
Do you know why they wanted the money?
They wanted to take a trip to Canada. Can you believe it?
Answer question 20. Thank you. This is the third part of the test. You will hear this part twice. Listen to this part straight through.
And this morning we have David Fields here to talk to us about dizziness. Dave?
How do figure skaters keep from getting dizzy while spinning? My listeners aren't the only ones interested in this question. So are astronauts who suffer from motion sickness in space. Research by NASA proved that with a trained skater, the pupils of the eyes do not gyrate back and forth during a spin as they do with an untrained skater. The rapid movement of the eyes catching objects within view is what actually causes dizziness. The eyes of a trained skater remain in a stabilized position, focusing on space between the skater and the next closest object. So, how are skaters taught to do this while spinning? Claire O'Neill Dilley, the skating coach, teaches students to see a blurred constant, an imaginary line running around the rink. The imaginary line may be in the seats or along the barrier of the rink. The crucial consideration is that the skater feels centered. Even when the hands and legs are swinging about, the skater should feel as if his or her shoulders, hips, and head are in line. This makes good spinning possible. What surprised me was that the strategies used to avoid dizziness were diametrically opposed to those used by ballet dancers, who use a technique called spotting. Dancers consciously pick out a location or object to focus upon during each revolution. And why won't spotting work for skaters? For the answer, I consulted Ronnie Robertson, an Olympic medalist who has attained a rare distinction. Nobody has ever spun faster on ice than him. 6 revolutions per second. He explained to me that spotting simply can't work for skaters because they are spinning too fast to focus visually on anything. Robertson was trained by Gustav Lussi, who was considered to be the greatest spin coach of all time. Robertson was taught to spin with his eyes closed. Robertson feels that spinning without vertigo is an act of mental suppression, blocking out the visual cues and rapid movement that can convince your body to feel dizzy. When his body was aligned properly, Robertson says that he felt calm while spinning at his fastest, just as a toy top is most stable when attaining its highest speeds. Isn't that comforting? I asked Robertson, why do almost all skating routines in competitions and skating shows end with long and fast scratch spins? I had always assumed that the practice started because skaters would have been too dizzy to continue doing anything else after rotating so fast. But Robertson pooh-poohed my theory. The importance of the spin, to Robertson, is that unlike other spectacular skating moves, spins are sustainable. So, a skater wants a spirited, prolonged reaction to the finale of his or her program. Spins are ideal because they start slowly and eventually build to a fast climax. Robertson always used his free foot to stop his final spin at the fastest point. A nice touch indeed.
Now listen to the same story in 5 sections. Look at questions 21 and 22.
And this morning we have David Fields here to talk to us about dizziness. Dave?
How do figure skaters keep from getting dizzy while spinning? My listeners aren't the only ones interested in this question. So are astronauts who suffer from motion sickness in space. Research by NASA proved that with a trained skater, the pupils of the eyes do not gyrate back and forth during a spin as they do with an untrained skater. The rapid movement of the eyes catching objects within view is what actually causes dizziness. The eyes of a trained skater remain in a stabilized position, focusing on space between the skater and the next closest object.
Answer questions 21 and 22, then look at questions 23 and 24.
So, how are skaters taught to do this while spinning? Claire O'Neill Dilley, the skating coach, teaches students to see a blurred constant, an imaginary line running around the rink. The imaginary line may be in the seats or along the barrier of the rink. The crucial consideration is that the skater feels centered. Even when the hands and legs are swinging about, the skater should feel as if his or her shoulders, hips, and head are in line. This makes good spinning possible.
Answer questions 23 and 24. Look at questions 25 and 26.
What surprised me was that the strategies used to avoid dizziness were diametrically opposed to those used by ballet dancers, who use a technique called spotting. Dancers consciously pick out a location or object to focus upon during each revolution. And why won't spotting work for skaters? For the answer, I consulted Ronnie Robertson, an Olympic medalist who has attained a rare distinction. Nobody has ever spun faster on ice than him. 6 revolutions per second. He explained to me that spotting simply can't work for skaters because they are spinning too fast to focus visually on anything.
Answer questions 25 and 26, then look at questions 27 and 28.
Robertson was trained by Gustav Lussi, who was considered to be the greatest spin coach of all time. Robertson was taught to spin with his eyes closed. Robertson feels that spinning without vertigo is an act of mental suppression, blocking out the visual cues and rapid movement that can convince your body to feel dizzy. When his body was aligned properly, Robertson says that he felt calm while spinning at his fastest, just as a toy top is most stable when attaining its highest speeds. Isn't that comforting?
Answer questions 27 and 28. Look at questions 29 and 30.
I asked Robertson, why do almost all skating routines in competitions and skating shows end with long and fast scratch spins? I had always assumed that the practice started because skaters would have been too dizzy to continue doing anything else after rotating so fast. but Robertson pooh-poohed my theory. The importance of the spin, to Robertson, is that unlike other spectacular skating moves, spins are sustainable. So, a skater wants a spirited, prolonged reaction to the finale of his or her program. Spins are ideal because they start slowly and eventually build to a fast climax. Robertson always used his free foot to stop his final spin at the fastest point. A nice touch indeed.
Answer questions 29 and 30. This is the fourth part of the test. There are five sections. Each section is a separate story. You will hear each section twice, and then you will have time to answer that section. Then you will go on to the next section. You will write in Finnish or Swedish. You must write your answers on the special answer sheet. Read question A. Question A, listen to this section.
A 78-year-old Chinese grandmother climbed the outside of her apartment block after locking herself out of her fifth-floor flat. She ignored neighbours who urged her to call her daughter for a copy of her key. She started climbing, using window grills as hand and footholds. On her way back to the fifth floor, she got stuck at the fourth when she found she couldn't climb around a wall-mounted air conditioning unit. Neighbours called the emergency services and the woman was rescued at last.
Now listen to this again and then answer question A.
A 78-year-old Chinese grandmother climbed the outside of her apartment block after locking herself out of her fifth-floor flat. She ignored neighbours who urged her to call her daughter for a copy of her key. She started climbing, using window grills as hand and footholds. On her way back to the fifth floor, she got stuck at the fourth when she found she couldn't climb around a wall-mounted air conditioning unit. Neighbours called the emergency services and the woman was rescued at last.
Read question B. Question B. Listen to this section.
An artist is going to pour 15 million litres of water down the drain to highlight water waste. Mark McGowan, 37, is leaving a cold tap on at full power for a year. That's 2 litres every 10 seconds. McGowan said, and I quote, "This will save water by highlighting waste in homes where people brush their teeth, wash vegetables, or shave with the tap running." Thames Water said it could issue an order to McGowan to stop.
Now listen to this again and then answer question B.
An artist is going to pour 15 million litres of water down the drain to highlight water waste. Mark McGowan, 37, is leaving a cold tap on at full power for a year. That's 2 litres every 10 seconds. McGowan said, and I quote, "This will save water by highlighting waste in homes where people brush their teeth, wash vegetables, or shave with the tap running." Thames Water said it could issue an order to McGowan to stop.
Read question C. Question C. Listen to this section.
A Russian thief took a broken Nissan Primera from a repair shop in southern Moscow and tried to make a quick getaway. But witnesses watched him sail through a set of traffic lights and smash into another car just a few yards down the road. He had watched mechanics do a paint job on the car and had seen them leave the keys in the door, so he decided to take his chance. But what he didn't know was the car also needed to have new brakes fitted. And so the man was arrested.
Now listen to this again and then answer question C.
A Russian thief took a broken Nissan Primera from a repair shop in southern Moscow and tried to make a quick getaway. But witnesses watched him sail through a set of traffic lights and smash into another car just a few yards down the road. He had watched mechanics do a paint job on the car and had seen them leave the keys in the door, so he decided to take his chance. But what he didn't know was the car also needed to have new brakes fitted. And so the man was arrested.
Read question D. Question D. Listen to this section.
Sherita Williams was arrested for calling 911 after a waiter served her cold onion rings and refused to replace them. So, she dialed 911 from the Malton Burger restaurant. Police turned up, but only to arrest Williams for wasting police time. So bad, so bad.
Now listen to this again and then answer question D.
Sherita Williams was arrested for calling 911 after a waiter served her cold onion rings and refused to replace them. So, she dialed 911 from the Malton Burger restaurant. Police turned up, but only to arrest Williams for wasting police time. So bad, so bad.
Read question E. Question E. Listen to this section.
In Morgantown, West Virginia, there's a program that serves young adults charged with alcohol-related crimes. It has seen almost twice as many this year because of increased law enforcement. The police have been ordered to check things over more carefully. Since the Morgantown Area Youth Service Project began in 2001, it has counted an average of about 200 clients a year. Now, halfway into the year, it's already served 200 persons.
Now listen to this again and then answer question E.
In Morgantown, West Virginia, there's a program that serves young adults charged with alcohol-related crimes. It has seen almost twice as many this year because of increased law enforcement. The police have been ordered to check things over more carefully. Since the Morgantown Area Youth Service Project began in 2001, it has counted an average of about 200 clients a year. Now, halfway into the year, it's already served 200 persons.
This is the end of the test. You will now have 8 minutes in which to blacken with a pencil the ovals indicating your answers and to check the written answers. Remember to make sure you have written the following information on your answer sheet: your name and number, and the name and number of your school. Also, make sure that the information needed for the exam has been carefully marked in. Thank you.